Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit.
It's my turn to bring the thunder. What's up, guys?
It is.
How's everybody doing?
Welcome to episode 4.
Episode 4. One whole month with this jabroni.
About. I think our first episode premiered in mid-July.
We do one every week, so if this is the fourth one, it's 4 months ago.
4 months ago?
Weeks ago. I'm so fried from today.
Oh my goodness, you and me both.
Baby. Yeah.
You and me both. But that's okay. We have a lot of good conversations, a lot of good things to chat about today. I'm going to be bringing in the affirmation of the day later. That's a total surprise.
Ooh.
As always, it's not special for it to be a surprise. They're always supposed
They're always a surprise. Yeah. But it's our anniversary today, so that's pretty sweet. Let's do a high five. All right.
Beautiful.
Happy On to the check-in. Yeah, yeah. On to the check-in topic.
So the check-in topic today is recovering in the summertime.
All right. How's that going for you?
So I wanted to talk about recovery in the summertime specifically because I know for myself, there are a lot of reasons why summertime recovery is a little bit more challenging than the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear your insights on how it is to recover in the summertime for you, since there's a lot of parties, there's a lot of barbecues. I feel like, and I might just be like perceiving things inaccurately or differently because of what I do in the summertime, which is mostly nothing. But I feel like a lot of people are drinking more often in the summer versus the rest of the year. So I wanted to talk to you about the summertime and just like what sort of unique challenges come up in these couple of months. Really, I mean, summer for me is July and August, but really summertime is
May, June, July, September.
Yeah, it is. So I wanted to talk to you about that today and just like get some of your insights.
Yeah.
So do you want to say anything or you want me to start things off?
I'm not saying a word. No. I think it is pretty interesting how I was just thinking when you were talking that I think for me it was the same amount of drinking, but the amount of drinking I was doing alone lessens, and it's more of a social gathering thing. And I think that's the same for a lot of people, especially if you were like me or if you are like I was and you're questioning your drinking, you find that it's a lot more accepted, or not accepted, but like it's a societal thing, especially out here.
But it is accepted, like drinking
in summer. I open up a Truly's. Day drinking happens a lot more frequently in the summer, the wineries and stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, luckily I work throughout the entire summer, so it's the same for me in the winter. Like I said, the past few weeks, like being around people drinking is pretty hard, especially if there's shots involved. But we haven't really been in too bad, like, in too crazy a situation because of COVID this summer. The last time I didn't drink for the summer, I did okay until my birthday, and that was it. Mm. You know, I had gone, like, 6 months, no drinking, and then I hit my birthday, and I drank for the weekend, and then I said, oh, I'll only drink for the week, and then I'll stop. And then I drank for the week, and I didn't stop. And then I even remember my friend texting me, like, hey, so are you going to get back on the no drinking train because your birthday's over? I said, oh, I'll just go until Labor Day. And Labor Day turned into a 2-year bender for me until, you know, Thanksgiving. So that was my 26th birthday. 27th birthday. Oh my God, I'm getting old. But now I'm a little bit more sure of myself. I don't know if it's like, they say willpower is no way to quit. You know, you want to convince yourself you don't want to drink or whatever. But a Heineken Zero helps a lot, I find. Or just a glass, or like if you're at a party and people have a solo cup, just like make sure you have something in your hands. I think having something in your hands helps. Yeah. The beach is tough because I'm used to going to the beach and just getting wiggity whacked. But it's fun. We went to the beach, what, last week? To the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
And,
can I just sidebar for a second?
Yeah, let's have a sidebar.
I'm always going to find it really, really funny that when you talk about going to the beach, you say the ocean, because, like, that's your ocean, right? Your other beaches are all, like, the Sound or the bay or whatever.
Yeah.
But for me, growing up, the ocean was the beach. Like, I didn't
go. I'm so lucky, because the Sound and the Bay, hot take, suck.
No, I love...
No.
So, if you're not familiar with where Maggie and I are from, which many of you are, but we do have some people who listen to
Chicago,
us.
Chicago and Texas.
Oh my goodness, who are not from Long Island, New York. So, the Long Island Sound and the Peconic Bay are the two bodies of water that we live closest to now. And that's on the north shore of Long Island, but on the south shore... You're closer to the Atlantic Ocean.
The ocean! The best place! Better than the Sound in the Bay?
No, I disagree. I like a nice calm.
We're never going to agree with this. So this is going to be an hour of us saying and
just disagreeing on the bodies of water.
You guys want to hear us disagree for an hour? Because it's going to go on.
But... I always find that really funny.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much of the time with this tangent. The ocean's better than the bay and the sound. And let's get back to what I was discussing.
All right. Relax.
I wanted to win that one. So like going to the ocean used to be like I'd bring a Mike's Hard Lemonade, or like last year I really liked White Claws. And and getting drunk on the beach. But then we went this time and... I had a really great time, and I actually went into the water instead of just hanging out on the beach. I was in the water for a long time.
You were like a little dolphin. You were like, that was my terrible dolphin noise.
I hate you so much.
The other thing to know about me is that I'm horrendous at an impression of literally anything. I cannot
just ask Conan O'Brien.
Wait, what do you mean?
Conan O'Brien really turns.
But I don't do... That's not me doing an impression of Conan O'Brien.
I know, but it was just like a reference to your...
But all of my impressions are bad. No, like, I don't care.
That,
you want to cut it?
That Conan O'Brien really churns my butter. That's what we're talking about. But yeah, no, I think summer's... I'm just going to go right back into it.
That's okay.
Summer's... summer's not too challenging for me because also you're talking to someone who's not a summer person.
That is true. You
do
not
like the summertime.
So I don't
give a shit about the warm weather. And it doesn't change my perceptions at all. Because summer sucks. So
that's also something that we're going to debate about for an hour. But not today. Another time.
But like, yeah. But like, and also with COVID, like, you know, part of going out, part of the summer was going out to Greenport. And it would be, I remember when I first moved back home, I was going out to Greenport every night. So much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I can save my money and get addicted to online shopping. But
great.
There's a few things coming in the mail for me tomorrow. If you could just sign for, No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, do I have to? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've been on, like, signing duty for the past week, so I'm like, oh, that's all right. I am home.
It's got to be tough for you, though, summer, right? Bathing suit, all that stupid shit.
Yeah, so it's definitely not easy to be recovering from an eating disorder in the summertime. The swimsuit, bathing suit, body image thing is definitely a part of why it's very challenging. But there's a lot of other things that come up for me individually that make it really, really tough. And we're about at the halfway point. That's why I wanted to talk about it today, as the check-in, because in my yoga class yesterday, I learned that we're in like the midpoint between the summer solstice and the autumnal equinox. Don't please stop. That was the only time I'm saying the word autumnal.
We get it. We all get it. We heard it last week. You know the word autumnal.
I don't know if it's autumn equinox or autumnal, but I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to...
You know, I've never heard the word autumnal until I met you. And you know how many times I've freaking heard it since?
All right. But that's what I learned in my class yesterday.
Okay.
We're at the halfway point. So I was like, oh, all right. So summer is, we're halfway through.
We're winding down.
And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, I made it through half of this very challenging time. That every summer is always really challenging for me. And I'm happy that we're halfway done with it. Not to say that, like, I want summer to be over, because I don't. I love summer. I think it's so much fun. I love warm weather. Stop it. She's, like, rolling her eyes and scoffing at me. But historically, I haven't had an easy time getting through summer. Even up until... Or not up until, that's not what I meant, but as a young person in school, like as a high school student, summer was always a challenging time for me.
Why is that?
Because I had so much downtime and a brain that at 16, 17 years old was just literally all over the place.
Yeah.
Not literally all over the place, but all over the place.
Yeah.
And there was so much of my mental health journey that at 16, I didn't uncover yet.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many things that I still needed to learn about myself. At that point, I hadn't been...
We're babies.
Yeah. You know, like, I wasn't diagnosed with any of the mental illnesses that I'm diagnosed with
now. I didn't even drink
now.
In high school, you know?
Right. Like, it was a totally different time. But the struggle of having 2 months of no structure is something that is... not foreign to me.
Yeah.
So when I have a lot of time to just kind of do nothing, it makes it more challenging to adhere to a meal plan schedule or eating at regular meal times. It makes it more challenging in the summer when there's always parties going on. Like there's always a barbecue or some sort of get together, and
yeah,
there's always a cake or some, you know, something that I know it sounds random, but like there's always a food or a group of foods that I don't do well with eating.
Yeah.
Because they freak me out.
Yeah.
Or the emotions that come up when I'm faced with those foods freak me out. Because the one thing in recovery that they'll always tell you, especially from the get-go, and when I say they, I mean like your therapist, they'll tell you that your eating disorder is never about the food. It's about everything else that's going on in your life. And that's the same, you know, I feel like that's similar to a lot of other mental illnesses or struggles with substances or alcohol. It's never about the alcohol. It's never about the substance. It's about what do you have going on in your life that's forcing you almost to engage in this unhealthy and malproductive behavior. I don't know if malproductive is a word. I'm making it up as we go. What are you doing?
I am looking something up.
What are you looking up? Are you looking up if malproductive is a word?
No. So, when I first stopped drinking, I started listening to Oh my God, can everybody guess This Naked Mind by Annie Grace? This Naked Mind. And her inaugural, her first episode, she talks about how she went into this journey after she was struggling from the worst back pain of her life. Mm-hmm. And she read a book. Do I buy into it? I'm not sure. I'd be willing to buy it. But it's called Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Connection. And it's a some doctor, some woo-woo hippie doctor. Is that what we said last week? By John E. Sarno. And he's talking about how stress and other psychological factors can cause back pain. Mm-hmm. And how you can be pain-free without drugs, exercise, or surgery. That's a big claim. But I do think it's very interesting when you say that it's not just about the food. It's about everything that's going on, the stressors and everything like that. And it made me think of that first episode. Mm. That it's never really about the object that you think it's about. You know, it's always, there's always something going on back there in the back and or in the subconscious of your brain and stuff like that. It's never really about anything. When people get so angry about random little things, you know it's not about that. Or
oh my God.
Customer service people know it all the time.
You are preaching to the congregation. No, that's what you're supposed to preach to. You're preaching to the choir right now. Like, I know.
At your job, there's people who lash out at you, and you know it's not about you most of the time. It's you just have to remind yourself it's about what's going on with them, and I think that that's, like, what you said is true. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not about the food. It's not about the liquor. It's whatever else is going on.
Absolutely.
And that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey.
It is. It's both the challenge and the journey.
When I listened to the first episode, I thought I said journey a lot, which is so funny because I never think about the journey, you know, but I was saying that word a lot. And so it made me think about it. And it's a little tangent, but it is pretty funny that, like, for me, not drinking has been this weird, windy road of figuring things out about myself and, like, what triggers and stuff like that. But that's a tangent for another day, or
we can talk about the big T later.
A big T later.
We got a
we
B
can
word.
Spill some tea about the tea.
Nice.
Thank you. Beautiful but you job. Were thank you so much. You were talking about how it's not about the food, it's about
yeah,
everything.
Right. I was actually just talking to my therapist this week. I was like looking at her in the FaceTime camera because we're still socially distancing our sessions. And she was talking and I was like looking at her and I just didn't respond for a few minutes. And she was like, what are you thinking? And I was like, I'm mentally preparing all of my outfits for when I return to work. And I'm also thinking about the fact that I probably won't look good in any of them. And it had like nothing to do with what her discussion before her asking me that question, like it had nothing to do with any of that. And she was like, oh my gosh, like you are so, like that is such an eating disorder thing to do, to like take yourself out of the emotional, like the work that you're doing and the mental work that you're doing and to just like latch on to something else, whether it be your appearance or what you're eating or what you plan to eat. Like it was, she was like, wow, that's so like eating disorder 101. And I was like, just call me Sam, the face of eating disorders. Except don't, because just don't.
Who could love this cute face?
Who could love this cute?
Couldn't.
Oh my gosh, I thought you said could, and I was
like. No, play it back.
Her. That's right, I'll play it back later when I'm editing everything.
Oh boy, yeah, I know. She does all of this, by the way.
I like audio editing. It's fun. I get to really, like, hone in on, like, the little sounds, like, that I just made. I'll edit that out, and I get to, like, look at all the sound waves and stuff, and I'm like, ooh, cut that, get rid of that. Mm. It's so lame, but...
Summer,
baby. What else? Do we have anything else to say about summer?
I have nothing else to say about summer. It's difficult for me because I don't like summer, and I'm not that social, you know? That's a tough one for me. I was never really a social drinker.
I will say that a recovery milestone for me is buying swimsuits in sizes that like 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been like beside myself if I knew that I was buying these sizes. And now I just want to buy things that feel good on my body.
Exactly. They looked so comfortable. You know what I mean? When you try them on, they just look like they were comfortable instead of...
Yeah, I mean, they were comfortable, and I felt confident in them, too.
Yeah, and like, you look great.
Oh, thanks. Like, that was the important takeaway from getting something that I know that in the past I really would have... I would have been, like, crying in my bed about it, and this time I was like... Whatever. I'm just going to... What I like to do is just cut the letters.
The taggies off?
Yeah, the tags off. That way I don't have to look at anything. And I'm not, like, faced with it every time I go put it on, because that's something that I'll always be doing, is looking at what number or what letter or whatever is in there.
Yeah.
And the only time that's not to my benefit is when I want to figure out what to buy if I like what I already have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what size is this?
Wait a minute.
Oh, I cut the size out. Now I don't know. But... It's fine. You make it work.
You make it work.
You make it work, baby.
Baby, baby.
Are you ready to get into our first letter of the day?
Yeah, who did we decide? Who do we want to do first?
So let's go in order. So let's go with Kat.
Okay. So this is Kat from the North Fork. And she wants to say identifying and healing triggers.
This is a big one,
baby. I'm going to let you take it away because I'm still thinking about it and I think that you'll help me.
Okay. So I'm sure that when I explain this process of identifying and healing triggers, thank you, Kat, for writing in. We appreciate your question. But I'm sure when I talk about this...
And thank you
this,
for the pie.
Oh, yes. Thank you for the pie. It was a good pie. It was a challenging thing for me to eat, and I am proud that I ate it. So
up
thank
top.
You. What was I saying?
Identifying and healing triggers. So
right.
When you talk about identifying and healing triggers.
That's right. So what I'm going to say, I'm sure, is going to sound so eloquent. And then the next time it comes for me to identify or heal something, to either identify a trigger or heal a triggering experience that's happened around me or within me, it's going to be a shit show and a hot mess. And I'm going to not remember any of what I'm saying right now.
Yeah.
But I think that especially early on in recovery, when maybe you haven't been to therapy before, or maybe you have, and you're just in a new location with maybe a new therapist or a new system or whatever it is, it can be really hard to identify what it is that triggers you. And I know that it probably took me a little while to understand that, because I thought that all of my triggers were food related or body related. And it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes people just say things that have to do with maybe what's going on for them emotionally or personally that have nothing to do with dieting or exercise, for me anyway. And I'll hear that and still get triggered because it's about maybe a trauma that I've experienced in my life.
Yeah.
So... It can be, I think it is challenging at first. And then the more you talk about those triggers or those experiences with hopefully a therapist in your life, they'll be easier to discern. But usually when I feel triggered by something, there's like an alarm sounding off in my brain that's like, this is hurting me, or this is no good for me, or I feel uncomfortable because of XYZ. And what I'm trying to allow for more now is not totally removing the triggers from my life, but instead allowing them to come in so that I can continue to practice the healing. Because if I try to snowplow everything out of the way,
yeah,
I think I said this a few weeks ago. If I try to just constantly remove everything that's triggering, I'm never going to have an experience to allow myself to work on those tools for healing. I'm always just going to be in like my little bubble of there's no triggers here and everything's perfect and happy and fine. But I also want to say that with that in mind, I definitely do set boundaries.
Yeah. Boundaries!
Our favorite B word. I definitely do set boundaries when I know that there's something online, maybe because social media, especially in the age of COVID, is like rampant and everybody's online all the time.
It's a disaster.
But I definitely have set boundaries with certain like online profiles that I engage with or interact with, and if there's something that I know for sure isn't going to serve me, I'll block it. You know, that way I don't have to be faced with it. But I try not to do that with everything. I don't know. It's hard.
It is.
It's definitely not easy because I don't want to sound like, oh, I don't want to get triggered. But sometimes I don't want to get triggered.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Well, what I think what you were talking about earlier is like when those alarm bells go off, and instead of snow plowing, like allowing them and dealing with them, it's like they're very mindful. It's like practicing mindfulness. It's like, oh, that's the whole point of mindful meditation, is to like, these thoughts come in, mm-hmm. and instead of pushing them away,
you acknowledge
them. You don't judge. You don't, you know, you don't even really process it. You just acknowledge it, mm-hmm. and move along, which is different than, I think, snow plowing, because you're like trying to find acceptance and non-judgmental ways to navigate thoughts and feelings.
Like, not. I'm sorry to cut you off. I was thinking. Like,
I was on the. I was at the end of the road.
But as you were saying that, I think it's really interesting that you mention it, because I know that even in my efforts to be more aware of when I'm triggered by something and then try to heal it, I'm definitely not practicing a non-judgmental kind of thing. Like, I am judging myself constantly throughout the whole process of, like, why am I triggered by this? This is so stupid. It has nothing to do with me. I'm freaking 30 years old. I shouldn't be affected by this anymore. Like, just
that's something that you need to work on, then, is cutting yourself some slack.
Okay. Jesus.
You're not perfect. Oh, my God. But like I said it in the first episode, like my whole thing is that everybody needs to cut themselves like a little bit of slack, and life would be so much more enjoyable and easier for everybody if we all cut ourselves some slack. Because I think a man named MJ said it the best.
Oh no.
You gotta change the man in the mirror first.
But like emotionally or mentally.
Yeah, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Now I gotta look up the lyrics. I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
You should ask my sister. She loves this
song.
I'm
asking him to change his ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, you better look at yourself and then make a
change.
Yeah. So I think that's really important. I think if everybody cut themselves a little bit of slack and took that judgment and acknowledged it, and, you know, and focus and try to, instead of judging yourself and being upset that you're judging yourself, like, think about, why are you being so hard on yourself? And what about the situation, and not just the trigger itself, but why are you being so hard on yourself in this situation?
So true.
What, you think there's a finish line tomorrow? Life's a journey, man. How many years do we have? Hopefully.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at the advice that you give, because no, that's not what I'm doing.
I meant it to be funny.
But, yeah. Like, just looking at your
face. I'm just
face.
Such a dingus. I can't help it. I'm such a goober dingus.
Oh, you are a goober, but that's why I love you.
But, yeah, no, I think, you know, also not only acknowledging your triggers and the way you're feeling, but also acknowledge the judgment and why you'd be putting it on yourself in the first place. But that's real good advice from someone who doesn't practice it.
So do you want to speak to triggers or identifying and healing them?
You know, I think this is a somewhat lopsided podcast in the way that you do the work. You're so regimented, and your self-care routine is just so, like, admirable.
Really?
Yes. Like, we were talking smack about you. the other day.
Wait, pause. What are you talking about?
All right, we were talking smack. You went up and I think you were in therapy and Kayla was over and me and Chris said, like, I have to give her credit. She's pretty strict with, like, or no, it was Kayla. Kayla said that you're very strict and regimented with your self-care routine and she gives you credit for it. We actually weren't talking smack. I just wanted to see your face.
But, like, self-care, like going to therapy?
Therapy, doing your yoga, writing in your journal.
Oh, I haven't written in my journal in, like, months.
All right, whatever. You know, like... But I'm just saying...
Blowing up my own spot.
I'm just saying that. You're so stupid. I'm just saying that, like, you it's lopsided because you do these things, right? You have your nutritional therapist. You have your regular therapist. You have your... You have a whole squad, like that SNL sketch with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. They got a squad of people that help them out. But, you know, in their thing, it was a therapist, a gynecologist, their nannies, whatever. but you definitely surround yourself with people that are going to help you, and you put in the work, which is really admirable. I feel like I don't. You know, I go to AA meetings. I don't have a therapist. I should.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not because, because...
Everybody should have a therapist.
I also don't want to, like, make light... Yeah, like, I'm not trying to make light of, like, oh, you need therapy. Because that's not the kind of joke I want to put on this podcast, especially. Yeah.
But no, I need it.
I think everybody could benefit from
it. I think it's good for everybody. And for me, I don't know what's holding me back from doing it. I just, like, I don't. It's not that I don't want to. I want to. I just don't. And I don't know why I don't. And I should just get over it and do it. And I've been to, like, a therapist's office. And I've talked to one person. I just sat there. I'm like, what do you want? What do you want from me? And I'm just so judgmental. Not only of myself, but of other people. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I'm sitting in the chair. I'm like, I'm smart, too. I can figure me out. Like, I'm just such a jerk. And I know that that's not what therapy's about. I know that they're all, like I know a lot of the time therapists will just ask you questions and have you, like, come up with the answers, but, like, put you on a road to figuring
it'll usually be, like, some probing question in regards to whatever it is I'm walking into with,
yeah,
or walking in with that day.
Yeah.
So usually I'll just sit down and then I just start talking. And then from there, my therapist will have
questions. You know what it is? I just hate meeting new people.
Right, but that's, like, the hump you have to get over.
I know, and it's just, like, and I think that's what it's, like, holding me back. Also, just making excuses, because I just don't want to. Because maybe I'm lazy and don't want to do the work. I don't know. Aren't I doing enough work? I'm not picking up a damn drink. But I know there's more to it than that, you know? There's, mm-hmm, like, healing that needs to be done. So that's, like, definitely something on the top of my to-do list. It's just, man, am I lazy, and man, do I love coming up with excuses. And avoidance, man. Fun. You got a question about avoidance, let me know. But, no, it's just something that needs to get done. So I just think this is a very lopsided, because you know so much more than me. You're very, like, I don't know. I'm coming from a, like, I didn't drink today. Let's talk about it. But you are definitely more, like... clinical, not clinical, but, you know, you're more knowledgeable about this stuff because you've put the work in and continue to do so.
Right, but you're putting in work every day.
Yeah.
By making the active choice not to drink.
Yeah.
And... Sorry to laugh at you while I'm trying to have a nice...
Oh, my tummy
rumbled.
Heart-to-heart
moment. Your little tum-tum.
Get off.
It rumbled. But you make the active decision every day,
yeah,
to not drink. And that's something that you have that strength within yourself to do. And you always source that strength. Every day you make the decision, or
yeah,
every minute or whatever it is, you know? And I think that's something to be enormously proud of yourself for.
Yeah. I need a therapist.
We can't use that as the episode title this time.
I know,
time.
But I wanted to reference it. Because legit, I need a therapist.
Well, I'll help you if you want me to help you find one. I'll help you.
You know, and a friend of mine who's a social worker who wants to be on this podcast, by the way.
For sure.
Come
on down.
She sent me a link to a guy she thinks, because she knows me very well, mm-hmm. and she sent me a link to one. And I had the number, but this was when I was still drinking. And okay. I texted her and I said, listen, I'm having a really hard time with drinking and anxiety, and I think I need to talk to somebody. And she sent me the link, and I was looking at the number, and I just ignored it. And she even told him I was going to call. What a jerk I am. Stood the guy up. I just don't know what it was. At that point, I wasn't ready to stop drinking.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely is a readiness factor, but... Or there is a readiness factor that goes into it. But I also want to believe that you'll never fully be ready for therapy, and you just have to throw yourself into it.
Yeah.
Because
I want to be better. You know, I want to do better. I want to... I have this idea of this person that I want to be, you know?
Well.
Healthy-ish.
Right.
Totally cool. Cool. Cool, like, emotionally. Like, just chill.
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
And, like.
It's tough, because when I hear that quote from you, like, coming from my eating disorder recovery brain, like, it's always great, I think, to set goals for yourself, but I'm hearing you say something like, I have an idea of who I want to be, as if who you are already isn't enough.
Yeah.
And knowing that every time I had an idea in my head from when I was a kid up until 5 seconds ago of who I wanted to see myself as, it's always as a person who's got her shit together, who doesn't cry when she listens to Taylor Swift, who looks good in all of her clothes and never has to buy bigger sizes ever, right? Who might actually have to go down sizes because she's losing weight and her life is so amazing and she's skinny and blah, blah, blah. And those goals, that vision for myself is like seriously messed up and distorted and not helpful.
Yeah.
And the way that I am, the way that you are right now is great.
Fine.
You know?
And that's something I think I've struggled with as well, just growing up. And it's always been like material stuff sometimes too, like I'll get this and then like that's it, that's awesome, and I that's the life I want to live, and then it's always to the next thing,
right.
You know, like I'm
nothing's good enough,
nothing. And even with barbering, it was like, oh, I'm gonna be a barber, barbers are so cool, I'll be cool then, you know, because I always struggled with feeling like I wasn't enough and feeling like I never fit in, and barbering didn't solve it. I still feel that way. I still feel like I don't fit in.
And that's where the work comes in.
That's where the work, that's,
you know,
and
that's
I,
all
and
internal.
It's so funny because I can acknowledge it.
Yeah. And that's a huge, that means you're, like, you're self-aware enough to know that. And
yeah,
that's
but work on it? I ain't worked all day. You want me to come home and work some more? That's ridiculous. But yes, I should, you know? Because, like, there's always, and I think that with me, I think that's what led into the drinking, too. You know, like, I always felt like I didn't fit in, and I was always, like, felt very, not, like, socially awkward, but just, like, if there was ever a quiet in a group, I always figured it's my fault. But now I look back, and I'm like, well, why do I have to do the entertaining? They're not obligated to hang out with me. It's not an obligation. You, like, you get to hang out with me. Why don't you entertain me? But no, but like, but really, like, I've always really struggled with feeling like I didn't fit in. I have no idea if that comes down to, like, growing up gay in a really, like, heterosexual and, like, homogenous, is that the word?
Heteronormative?
No, but, like, the same, everyone's kind of
the same.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah, the same, sure.
Like, homogenous.
Sorry,
no,
sorry for
okay.
trying to throw fun words in your mouth.
Small town, I don't know if that's where it began, but it's definitely the root of my drinking, because I only drank to feel comfortable in groups and to fit in.
Right.
I never walked into a bar until a few years ago, you know, and I had to be drunk. I was so nervous to be around people. And, like, I cut hair for a living, but who I am behind the chair is so much different than you wouldn't even recognize. Like, if you just hung around all day and just listened, compared to, like, being out and in a social setting, it's a completely different person. Because that's job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought job would make life better. And I think a lot of people also have that. I think it's with anything, with like your eating disorder, like a thin body, or drinking, or like the material stuff, or in this case for me, the job, like job make better, you know?
right. You know, like, no, for sure.
And it's so sad, because I know so many people who struggle in their life, and they think their dream job's gonna fix it.
Yep.
Or they think,
or the relationship is gonna fix it.
Yeah, right? Anything. They, or the baby's perfect, gonna
the
fix
baby,
it.
The baby, the house.
It's never
it's
that.
It's all the external.
It's always.
And it's never really the external. Absolutely. Oh, you're on some good shit today.
Thank you. But yeah, no, I'm just, because like, it's funny, because when I hear you talk about this stuff, I'm also discovering or like thinking back at things. Probably why I should go to therapist, because I think a therapist would be better than you. No offense. But like,
I mean,
they'd
yeah,
be
I
even
agree.
More insightful. I didn't have to put it so aggressively.
No, but I completely.
They'd be better than you. The fuck am I doing here?
But I agree with you.
And it's just like I'm like having a little bit of self-discovery, because I feel like I always kind of knew it, but it's never really come to the surface. So I'm having like a little epiphany right now. But I think like the buying, because I am another thing I need to tackle is my chronic online shopping. It's always the next thing.
My therapist had a name for this a few years ago when I was telling her about, like, an experience I had where I was just, like, going out on a lot of dates with a lot of guys. And, like, dating this guy on Monday, another guy on Tuesday, this guy on Wednesday.
Oh, you're talking about my normal day-to-day life.
Stop it.
But with
a, but she called it,
yeah, group
she
of women.
Called it like stop it. Like a symptom substitution, I think, where instead of relying on the behavior that you usually use to feel good or feel better, you look at something else to kind of fill that space.
Yeah.
And
oh my god,
me,
I've been doing that,
like,
since the beginning of time.
So for you it was buying things, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe going out and getting what, like, all of these perfumes.
Why do I have so many colognes now?
Like, so many. So many. It's taking up the entire vanity.
But it is a nice collection. And I will be a better person when that collection's complete.
Shrug. Shrug.
But even when I was a kid, I wanted a dirt bike so bad. Dirt bike was going to change my life.
Right, but did it?
And it was going to make me happy and fill a weird hole that I had. No! I still love dirt bikes, though. But no, it didn't. I did have a lot of fun, though. But I was never good. I always wanted to be good at stuff. I always wanted to do stuff. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be awesome. You know, it's going to be amazing.
Right.
Same thing with hockey. I was like, I want to be a hockey player, and that'll be great. I'll be so cool when I'm a hockey player. Now, it's just like, oh, God, I'm going to die here on the ice.
It's like, oh, my gosh, I have to move?
Yeah. It's just such a, and I think the same things that triggered my drinking also trigger my, like, going on the phone and just shopping or looking up stuff and, like, this will make it better,
right,
this
right,
outfit
right.
will make it better, I'll look, and it's, you know, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So.
Did we even, does that even have anything to do with healing and identifying triggers?
I would like to think so, because you're talking about healing triggers using other behaviors that aren't drinking,
yeah,
that you know probably aren't going to be sustainable in the long run.
No.
Right, like buying perfume every day is not going to be sustainable in
or
the
how
long
do you
run.
Think about lending me some credit? You have a credit card I could use?
No, stop it.
But no, you're right, I don't mean to,
you know,
make light,
like,
of it, but yeah, no, I and it's so funny because, like, I know I'm doing it, but it doesn't matter. It's that little endorphin rush, you know.
Trust me, I get it. I love to shop. I buy a lot of things.
My buyer remorse is heavy. Like, the dopamine from buying is definitely not,
it's not meeting.
The ratio,
yeah,
is like, now it's definitely heavier buyer's remorse than anything.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, sure.
And I just, like, it's weird. Triggers are odd, because I, like I said, I think this is lopsided, because I'm not sure yet. I'm still figuring everything out.
And it's okay.
And I'm not even close to healing them.
Well, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, Kat, for writing in.
I hope we answered.
I hope we answered.
I don't know,
this
man.
Was like a whole
So for a very succinct question, like concise,
I know.
Two words,
like a sentence.
Boy, is that open ended.
And the whole answer was like a half hour.
Oh
so.
My God, it's half the. That's why I think we should just do one.
So thanks, Kat.
Thank
for
you so much.
In.
I love you. Thank
we
you
love
for
you.
The peach pie. That's the only reason why we answered your question this week, because you bribed us with peach pie.
It's not true.
It is. It is. We talked about it today.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Listen. She's lying.
All right. So because this episode is getting kind of long, as is, what we're going to do is pause our second question and save it for another time.
Hmm.
Since we did talk about identifying and healing triggers for about...
And it's also our anniversary and there's food downstairs.
That's true.
Like, come on, guys.
I'm like super excited about this dinner. But what we're going to do is pause on our second question and come back to it at another time, probably next week. And instead, what we're going to shift towards is the affirmation of the day, which I have memorized. I didn't write it down, so I hope I don't butcher it. But this is something that I wanted to talk to you about because I know for me in recovery, it's something that, and not just me, so many people in and out of eating disorder recovery struggle with this particular thing. And I think it would be a good check-in topic for another time.
Hit me.
So this quote, fun fact, was brought to me from my boss a few weeks ago when I had a Zoom meeting with her. And I don't even remember the context of why she brought up this quote, but she brought it up. And I wrote it down on a post-it and was like, this is going to be an affirmation of the day at some point. So the quote is, comparison is the thief of joy, and it is believed to have been said by Theodore Roosevelt.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Man, do I suffer from comparing myself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody else does. Man, oh man.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Not even just about drinking, just like life. Oh my God.
Right. Like just,
ugh.
That's life.
I can't
a
even,
part of
like
life.
I hate following other barbers because it's like, oh my God, they're so much better than me. I'm such a worthless piece of shit and I should just quit my job. I do. I feel that all the time. Sometimes I have to unfollow barbers because I just can't handle it. And, man, it's tough. Comparing yourself to others is, like, the worst thing in the world. And I try so hard not to do it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I know. It is so challenging.
It's tough. That's a tough one.
So challenging. I mean, in the eating disorder world, comparison always comes up in terms of, what am I eating? What is this person eating?
Yeah.
What does my body look like? What does this person's body look
it's
like?
It's such a tangible thing to compare to.
Right. Like, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
And present. Even when looking at certain things like the amount of food that's on your plate or even what your body looks like can sometimes be really distorted and not objective.
And I'm gonna get all like rebellious.
Mm.
But this society and was manufactured to make us compare ourselves to others, because where would money go if we weren't always trying to live up to somebody else? And even with body, there's a whole, like you've told me before, there's a whole entire market.
Yeah.
For women comparing themselves.
The diet industry.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you want to call it a fitness industry or if that would just be part of the diet industry, but the beauty industry too.
Yeah, it's always about comparing, like, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, but we have the fix.
You know? Was that thing that we saw yesterday?
Bo Burnham.
Yes, but he said something.
I don't know. We could get Chris and he could like recite it word for word right now if we really needed
it.
It
was
to.
that quote.
The last
that was
song.
Like, you buy this magazine that tells you
you're not good enough.
You're not good enough.
So we can sell you a song to tell you you're good enough.
Yeah,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like it was this whole, it was in a special that we watched yesterday called What? It was just called What, period.
I could have done without the F words over and over again in that.
All right. Well, now we're turning this into a Bo Burnham review podcast segment, is not what we... I mean, I had my issues with it, but we can talk about that off air. But what came up in that was like this song about being like told by society that you as a consumer of the media and of music and whatever are not like good enough, and you're reading this magazine that's telling you all of these things about like why you, your body, your appearance is not good. And then like there's a song by like a pop band like One Direction or something that'll tell you that you are beautiful, and then you buy it because they're featured in that magazine, and it's like this whole cycle. It was very meta. I was like, oh, I wasn't prepared for this on a Monday night.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know how we got there. Oh, wait. Yeah, I do. Because you said that there's certain industries that are... that are set up. And the only way that they can thrive is through comparison.
Through comparison.
Right. That's true.
And it's just...
But, like, in terms of it being the thief of joy, or, like, so it robs you of your joy, like, absolutely.
And it is my mission in this podcast, and it goes back to cutting yourself some slack, is that not everything in somebody else's life is as it seems, and you can't compare your background to somebody's highlight reel. You know, you see that meme all the time.
So true.
When it, like, as reference to social media, but it's just true day to day, you know? I just don't want to compare myself to other people anymore, you know?
Right.
And I don't want anybody else to do that either. And I hope that in my account, like, I'm going into social media because, man, it is the disease of the century. I hope that my social media doesn't make people think that I've got it all together, and I hope that I'm as honest as I can be on there about my failures and what I'm feeling. And I did go on a rant a few weeks ago about how I've always felt on the outskirts of the barbering industry and how I felt like there was no room for me and I wasn't good enough, and I got this random message from someone that was like, oh my god, that's so weird, because I thought you had it, like, you had your place carved out in the world and you were sure about it.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel better to know that, you know, I don't think she said it in words like, it makes me feel better to know that you're struggling too.
Sure, but like, it's humbling, right? Like,
I was thinking last week, looking at one of your posts, I wish I had a nicely defined role in the world like Maggie, going to work and just doing their job without the self-doubt. I think everyone oversimplifies other people. No one is certain in where they are. I think not fitting in is the standard, at least in my life. And that was, like, really nice to hear that I at least, like, showed somebody that's, like, totally normal. And
yeah.
And she's right. It's like, everybody wants to feel like they've carved a place in the world for them. And everyone thinks that everyone else is sitting in a perfectly carved chair and they're just not done yet. But I think everybody's on this weird route. I'm not going to say journey. On this weird route to self-discovery.
This weird trip. No, but we don't want to say trip either, because that could be triggering. But, yeah,
but
this,
I think,
weird path?
Yeah, path. Journey!
Don't stop!
I just think... it's true. Like, the moment you stop comparing yourself to others, and that's like one of a cardinal rule in AA, is don't compare yourself or your struggles with somebody else.
Right.
And it's true, because the minute you go in there comparing yourself to others, you'll never learn. You'll go in there and be like, well, I don't have it as bad as them, or they don't have it as bad as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And these, and you'll never move from there.
Right.
So yeah. Fuck comparisons.
I definitely want to talk more about it another time, but I know that we cannot do it right now.
Dude, that curry smells so good.
Well, besides that, this is almost an hour now, and I like to keep these to about an hour. That way we don't bore everybody to
death. Oh my god, imagine listening to a podcast for longer than an hour. Ugh.
I mean, I definitely do that. But...
No, I don't. I refuse. Someone said to me, I don't listen to podcasts. Who said that to me? Alicia, because I don't have a chance to put my two cents in, and that's why I have such a hard time listening to podcasts.
Yes, because you don't have because you don't have the experience of being like, well, here's what I have to say about that.
Wait, everybody, listen to my opinion.
Oh my goodness. Alrighty, guys.
I hope this was I hope everybody learned a little something from this episode.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
But you know what that means? We gotta wrap
this up?
We gotta wrap this up.
Wrap it up, babies. We gotta do our outro.
We gotta do the outro, baby. Hold
on. I wanna read your lines this time.
Oh, okay. You can do that.
Yeah, let's do it. And keep this in so everyone hears. Okay. And then you can all tell us who did better.
No, don't, because comparison is the thief of joy. Please don't tell us that.
You can follow us on Instagram at showyourselfpod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery posts, and submit your recovery-related questions to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us do just that.
We're really glad you listened in with us today, and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other. Holla!
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Bye!